Sometimes I just need a word from heaven that every everything okay. I try to walk by faith, but sometimes I'm so afraid that I cannot see how God can make a way. But then I think He's never failed me, never left me. Not one time have I cried out, and my voice He has not heard. Never failed me. He won't start today. He will make the way. He's never failed me. As broken as you feel, your troubles, they are real. And I know you feel that God's forsaken you. But child, don't lose your faith. He is working while you wait. So just hold on. He will bring you through. He's never failed me. Never left me. Not one time have I cried out, and my voice He has not heard. Never failed me. He won't start today. He will make a way. He's never failed me. He's been faithful, so faithful. So I choose to trust Him now. He will make a way somehow. So just believe and you will stay. He's never failed me. He never left me. Not one time have I cried out, and my voice He has not heard. Never failed me. He won't start today.
Now, they were just young. And I was little, and they were young. They were a little older. they're not old bad.
Yeah,
I have a son.
But this
man needs a lot.
Yeah.
He went south, and we are not the close miles wide, but never far in heart. I can't say enough about it. I'm going to say this because I don't, you never know when you're going to see something.
Yeah.
And we're telling you, he's had health issues, close to death many times, as well as I have. But when I started 40 years ago, he was one that set on a council to ordain me to preach the gospel. That's how far back we go. I held revivals for him. He held revivals for me. He went to the Lord so much. In fact, I was standing there with the same a while ago. One of the last visits that me and you made together of ways that people may say, and if you remember, very famous name, at the Hall of Elbow and Branch at the club. And he made a profession of Jesus Christ in his ministry. That's been a long time ago. That's what's come to my mind. But that's how far we go by, serving the Lord together. And we've cried together, we've laughed together, we've worked together, we've prayed together, we've preached together, and we've made one fun of one another together. This man, Miss Patrick, and her family, Tony's daddy, bought him the other day. I was down at the old house first. And the Marshall Webb, he bought the house from me. And I thought of Sylvester and World Gravy and Biscuit. That's what I thought about Thursday. So a lot of memories here tonight with this man. But one thing I can say, he's a Bible man. He's been a Bible man for many, many years. You pray for him. So he'll give you a Bible. That's without a doubt.
Amen. Appreciate you, Pastor. Appreciate you, brother. Well, it is a joy and a privilege to be here. He heard Methuselah was coming, so he put in handrails for me. But I'm glad to be here. As he said, we go way back together. When he and Joe Schaefer and Mike Long announced our call to preach, I dubbed them the Sons of Thunder. Because of Chick Cart, and he was Papa Thunder.
Yeah.
And my wife was saved under Chick Cart's preaching down at Winona Revival Meeting years and years ago when she was about 16 years old. I ain't going to tell you how old she is because she's liable to smack me.
Yeah.
But 44 years ago, the 28th day of this month, I was coming up the West Virginia Turnpike one evening about 5:30. And lost as a ball in high weeds. Bitter at God, we just buried a 5-year-old daughter in April of that year. And I was bitter at my wife. I come in, I throwed $1,000 cash down. I told her I want a divorce and I want it now. You can have everything, I'm gone. And God began to work on me.
Yeah.
I'd leave the house. I moved back in with my dad. My dad was a widower. Moved back in the house with my dad, taking care of him. He said, "Boy, you know you're not doing right. I'm praying for you."
Yeah.
Well, that done more good for me than anything. And I got under old-time Holy Ghost conviction. But I'd sit under a man that Mark knows well, Pawpaw.
Yeah.
I'd been in Kenny's Creek Baptist Church. I played church a lot of times. And Brother Bill get up, an old raspy voice, and he said, "I'd like to sing one this morning." It was always the same song, "The Old Rugged Cross." He'd begin to sing that song. He'd begin to cry, tears run down his cheek. Holy Ghost had begin to move my heart, and I'd sit there and I'd get nervous and I fidgeted, and I couldn't wait till the service was over. He'd see me maybe the next day in town or up at the gas station. He'd say, "Tony, I'm praying for you. I love you. I want you to know God loves you." He knew my condition.
Yeah.
He knew where I was. And another one of my heroes.
Yeah.
And boy, I appreciate him. And like I say, we go way back together. And I remember a revival meeting we had on the mountain one time. And a young man by the name of Dennis Kincaid came.
Yeah.
I preached on eternal security. Joe Schaefer preached on eternal security. Mark Secrest preached on eternal security. Old boy got mad. He said, "I'm going to take my Bible. I'm going fishing." He went up on the Cranberry on Saturday morning, took that old Bible out, and began to read. Found out he was saved eternally.
Yeah.
God turned his life around. That's what God can do. God's a God of change.
Yes, amen.
And boy, I'm glad that that day, 5:30 on the p.m., on that Tuesday evening, you say, "How you know it was that day?" I was there.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that day. And God's blessed us. God's given us a good life together this year coming. We'll celebrate 56 years together if the Lord lets us live. If he don't come, we'll celebrate that anniversary. If he does, for one of us or both of us, we'll celebrate it in heaven.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad that I know him and that he knows me.
Yes.
And glad that I'm a part of the family of God. To give you a little bit of update about our area down in North Carolina, I live in Wilkesboro. Wilkesboro is located 30 miles this side of Boone, west of Boone, kind of southwest, and the storm line went right up through Wilkesboro. We had 15 inches of rain. We only had about 3 foot of water in our town. We were without power about 72 hours, but nothing compared to what the folks in the mountains suffered. They got almost 30 inches of rain or plus. There's whole towns that are gone.
Yeah.
There's roads that are washed out. There's bridges that are washed out. Chimney Rock, right above Asheville, is completely gone.
Yeah.
Saw the story of a mom. Her mom and dad was on the house. The house began to break up. They drowned. Her 7-year-old son drowned. And the last thing she said that gave her peace was that he was calling on Jesus to save him. And people complained about losing their internet. God help us. We focus on the wrong things. We need to focus on what's real. Things in this world are all fake. But God's real. He's real. And he will forever be real. And boy, I'm glad I know him tonight. I pray that you do. And I pray that you'll be helped tonight in the message. Your pastor's a cut-up. We always have been cutting up with each other. He told me, he said, "I've been putting out your name, Dr. Tony Millay." And I said, "Well, you know what that doctor is, don't you?" I said, "It's like the curl on a pig's tail. It's cute, but it don't make the meat taste any sweeter." Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with me, tonight, turn to Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. And I want you to look in verses 23 and 24. Well, we might read 22 as well. Acts chapter number 17, verse 22. If you're able to stand with me, honor God in reading of His Word. In Acts chapter number 17, verse 22, Paul records these words. He says, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." You notice all that's capitalized. Says, "Whom therefore ye are ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and of earth, and dwelleth not in the temples made with hands. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your grace. Thank you for the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary. Lord, for a little while, I pray that you'll help me tonight. Give me clarity of thought and mind and speech. Lord, I need you above everything else. I realize I stand in a place that no man can stand alone. God, I need you, and I need your guidance. I need your direction tonight. I love Brother Mark, his family, these good folks here at Mountain State. And Lord, some of us go way back. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless and meet every need of every heart and every life here tonight. I pray for those in the flood victims there in our state. And God, that your protective hand would be about them. And God, that you would just get glory. Prepare those hearts that don't know Jesus, that they'll come to know this unknown God we're going to preach about tonight. God, that you'll save them before it's eternally too late. Bless now in the service tonight. Thank you for the good singings, for the special. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. All this we praise you and thank you for in Jesus' name, because you're worthy. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Wherever Paul went, whenever he had the opportunity, he loved to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it wasn't always that way. He had that great experience on that day on the road to Damascus when God opened his blinded eyes. And now he comes to a place and he's talking to a bunch of heathen people. And now he's going to tell them about this unknown God. And wherever we go, we too should be ready to stand and to declare the Word of God to those that are lost and undone. I believe the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." I'm not talking about going in boldness and shaking your finger in their face and telling them that they're sinners and they're lost and they're undone. Most of them know it already. They just don't know Jesus. And they need to know Him. And, you know, there's always three fingers pointing back. I've learned not to be too critical of people. And, you know, 44 years being saved and 42 years preaching, God's mellowed my heart a little bit. Especially for those that are lost and undone. And if there ever was a day that you and I need to put on that gospel armor and be clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's now. If there's not but one thing happened out of this storm that came up through the Carolinas and into Tennessee, it's brought God's people together. Somebody asked me, "Well, where's FEMA?" I said, "Well, where's the church?" We depend too much on something that we shouldn't depend on. God has given us, God has blessed us, God has given us bountiful, and yet we don't take the time to have the compassion and the love to reach out to those that are in need and that are lost and undone. Many of those folks don't know God. Many of them are just good mountain country folk, just like here. And they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the Bible admonishes us that we're in those last days. And in Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 10 through 19, he tells us this. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." He said, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's where we are today in our society. And I want to tell you, we're fighting a warfare that's spiritual, not physical. Christians are to come together. Christians are to serve together. Christians are to pray together. Christians are to reach others for Christ. He said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Let me tell you, the only truth that I can give you tonight is the Word of God. If I give you anything else tonight, it's going to be false. There's nothing out there that can compare with the Word of God. And if you study the Bible and you come down through the pages of the Bible, you'll find that God is real and He's always been there, always will be, and one day we're going home soon. He said, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Boy, if the gospel ever needs to be preached, it's today.
Yes, amen.
Somebody said, well, preacher, you live in the Bible Belt. No, I live where they need to be belted with the Bible. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's people down there lost and undone. I'm talking about heathens that walk around, that ignore you and make fun of you. But you know what? I just love them. I just tell them God loves them, and I witness to them regardless. He said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yeah.
If you're basing your life on anything else tonight other than this book, you're going to miss the mark.
Yes, amen.
There's three things that God cannot do. God cannot lie.
Right.
You believe that?
Right.
The Bible said, let God be true, but every man a liar. God never changes.
Right.
Malachi said, when God talking, he said, I'm the Lord, I change not.
Right.
And then he'll not allow anybody into heaven without being born again.
Right.
There's so many folks that have a head knowledge and not a heart knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. They know the right lingo. They know when to raise their hand, praise the Lord. They know when to say amen. They know all these things, and yet their heart has never been regenerated.
Right. Amen.
The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved the heart knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. They know the right lingo. They know when to raise their hand, praise the Lord. They know when to say amen. They know all these things, and yet their heart has never been regenerated.
Right. Amen.
The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I'm glad I have that blessed hope, Brother Mark.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad I know who Jesus is. And He said, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all perseverance and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel is a mystery. I used to think it was a fairy tale. Till one day, I met the Master.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I believe we're living in the last of the last days. And I believe Satan is throwing every fiery dart at the saints of God that he can throw, and that he's doing everything that he can to try to discourage and defeat us. And if there's ever a time that we need to stand and be bold in our witnessing and love people and point them to Christ, it's today. And I believe we need to lift up our voices, the Bible says, like a trumpet.
Yeah.
And tell them about the unknown God. Now let me give you three things quickly. Number one, let me say, He may be unknown, but He's not unseen. You ever thought about that? Turn back to Psalm 19 for just a moment. Look at two or three verses there. Psalm 19. God, in His wisdom, has given us a book that explains who He is and what His purpose is and what our purpose is in life. And in Psalm 19, we find that God spoke to the hearts of men, wanting them to know and wanting them to realize who God is. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork.
Yes.
Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom, coming out of the chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forward is from the end of heaven, and His a circuit upon the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof.
Yeah.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Brother Mark talked about being happy a while ago. We ought to be the happiest people on earth. Some of the folks you look at and you have to preach to, they look like they've been pickled. I preached a message one time entitled, "Why Has Your Countenance Fallen?" And I took a mirror and I put up on each side of the church. And every little bit I'd run over and I'd get that mirror and I'd hold it up and I said, "Now see what I got to preach to every Sunday morning." I got some frowns, I got some smiles, but I got some people right. At least the Lord did. Amen. But that's where we are today. They don't want to see God. They don't want to see anything but themselves. Brother, if I could get a glass of water, a bottle of water, I'd appreciate it. Turn to Romans chapter number 1, and here's where we are today. Here's the things that's taking place in our world, and Brother Mark has a habit of getting me in trouble. Years ago, there was a meeting. I'm not going to call any names, so I know this is going out over the internet, but Brother Mark said, "We need to make a resolution." I said, "I agree with you 100%. So we made a resolution. We're going to get that thing passed. Thank you, brother. We're going to make a resolution. We're going to get that thing passed." I said, "Okay." He looked around and he said, "You're going to read the resolution." I said, "Oh, my soul." So we did. But here's what we brought forth. And we give them Scripture. It's hard to argue with the Word of God. But it says in Romans chapter number 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You're not going to be able to stand before God one day and say, "I didn't know."
Amen.
He goes on to say, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own body, own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." That's where we are today. This was back when the time of AIDS came into play, and it was running rampant. I want to tell you, it didn't come from a green monkey.
No.
It came from the lusts of men's flesh, burning one for another, just like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
And God's not going to let sin go unpunished. Look at verse 26. "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which is meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, despite, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient unto parents." Listen, young people, I wish I'd have listened more to what my mom and daddy had to tell me.
Yeah.
without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, inflexible, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We need to stand. He's made creation visible. You can see it. It's everywhere. We had a spell a couple of weeks ago where the skies were clear and we could see the northern lights as far down as North Carolina. And man, they looked pretty over the Blue Ridge Parkway. And if you couldn't look at that and see God in that, there's something wrong.
Right.
So He's made it clear. He's made visible through salvation. Think about what He did in the life of the Apostle Paul. He changed that man forever.
Yes.
Here was a man who was out to do harm to the church. He was on his way to Damascus, and there he saw that great light, and God opened his heart, and God hoodooed him. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?"
Yes.
And he asked him, he said, "How hard is it for thee to kick against the pricks?" And then the next question out of Paul's mouth was, "What shalt thou have me to do?" So he was hoodooed.
Yeah.
And he wrote most of the New Testament.
Right.
That's how God used him. That's how God can change us. He's made salvation full and free and visible. Let me say, He may be unknown, but He's not unseen.
Right. Good.
Secondly, let me say, He may be unknown, but He's not unfaithful.
Right.
Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. You ever thought God's been unfaithful? Don't lie to me, because you're lying to God.
That's right.
I have. I've had some doubts sometimes. God, you haven't been faithful. God, you haven't done this. God, you haven't done that. But can I tell you, God's been faithful?
Yes, He has.
1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 12 and 13 says, "Let him who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall.
Yes.
For have there is no temptation such as common to you, but as common to man. But we've all been tempted. But God has made a way to escape that we may be able to bear." God's already made the way through Calvary.
Yes. Amen.
I'm glad there was a way that was made. And He's faithful in all that He does. Think about even in our Christian life today. Anybody ever failed besides me?
Oh, my.
I have to get somewhere along with God.
Yeah.
But think about what it says in Lamentations chapter 23, verses 22 and 23. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." It says, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness."
Amen. Amen.
I couldn't keep myself for one second.
Oh, yeah.
But His grace is sufficient. He's faithful to save. You know, I try to witness to everybody I could get my mouth to listen to. And I know some of them get tired. But I tell them, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. I said, God loves you, Jesus died for you, and He'll save you. I said, let me give you just one verse of Scripture. "Oh, you preachers are all like, you're just Bible thumpers." I said, no. I said, I'm going to give you just one verse of Scripture. That's all I'm going to give you, and I'm going to leave. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Yes, amen.
He's faithful to save.
Yes, He is.
And He's not slack concerning His promise, as some account slackness, but His long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. How many of us have witnessed to somebody today? How many of us have prayed for at least one lost person today? Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but you know whether you have or not.
Yes, sir.
Just come clean with God.
Yes.
And God wants to save them, and God can save them. Not only is He faithful to save, but He's faithful to secure.
Yes, He is.
Hebrews 7:25, He said, "Wherefore He is able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them."
Yes.
Think about that. God is able.
Yeah.
And yet, many times, we come up and we pray for somebody, and then we get up and we take our sack and put it back on the shoulder. Well, I really don't believe God's going to save them. 42 years I prayed for my brother Bill. October the 2nd, 2 years ago, I drove from Wilkesboro, North Carolina to Wilmington, Delaware. It's about a 6.5 hour drive, 7. I showed up on a Friday evening. On the first, the second was on Saturday morning. I took him out to dinner for his birthday that night. I was just buttering him up. Next morning in his living room, we got up early and we was having a cup of coffee together. And I said, "Brother, I said, I don't know if I'll ever get to see you again on this side of eternity." And I said, "I've got to know something." I said, "I drove all this way for one purpose, to tell you about Jesus." I began to talk to him. And he just had a defib and a pacemaker put in together. And I said, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" "Well, I hope I do." I said, "Have you been born again?" "Well, I don't know." I said, "Well, tell me something. I need to know. I need to know if you're saved." And he said, "Well," he said, "when my heart went out of rhythm and they shocked me back," he said, "I asked the Lord to take care of me." I said, "No, that's not what I'm asking." I said, "I'm asking, have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever confessed Him?" And he just hung his head and tears began to fall. And I said, "Brother, let me tell you about my Savior."
Yeah.
And I got down on my knees and I began to weep. And I began to tell him about Jesus. And he said, "I need to be saved."
Yeah. Yeah.
God saved his unworthy soul.
Yeah.
I called him Saturday morning and I said, "Brother," I said, "now you've got one birthday you've probably forgotten, but," I said, "you've got one now you'll never forget."
Yeah.
God came.
Yeah.
42 years of prayer every day. I called his name.
Yeah.
Put it in the first Bible I had, and I carried it from Bible to Bible to Bible, carried that page, and prayed for him faithfully, wanted him to be saved. And God saved him. God secured him.
Yes. Amen.
He's faithful to supply.
Yes, He is.
1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it."
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we're too busy asking God for our wants and not our needs. God will never give you what you want. There's a lot of things I'd like to have.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things I don't need. Because God would give me those things, it would separate my relationship between me and God. And I don't want anything to stand between us. He's faithful. He's faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself."
Amen.
He's not going to. He's going to love us. He's going to meet our needs. I preached out of Psalm 73 this morning, over in the Psalms there. Asaph. Asaph was a man who was a songwriter, for a Levite, leader, song leader for Israel. And he got himself out of the will of God. You say, how did he do that? He began to look around at all the wicked and how they prosper.
Yeah.
Don't look at me and tell me you haven't.
Yes,
if you haven't, we're going to have a Bible signing service after the church, and you can sign my Bible if you haven't.
Yeah.
Or I'll sign yours, one of the two.
Yeah, I have.
We've all doubted at times.
Yeah.
But he got his mind off of God and what God could do. And he talked about in the first 15 or 16 verses there what happened. And then in verse 17 he said this. He said, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end."
Yes. Yeah.
He knew what was going to happen to him. And then he began to lay out what was going to happen to him down from verses 18 down through verse 27. But then he closed out that psalm. He said this, "But it is good for me to draw near to God." Have you drawn near to Him today?
Yeah. That's good.
My dad was one of my heroes.
Yeah.
Dennis Kincaid's dad was one of my heroes, big old burly men.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I call them men of renown.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Strong. Strong in faith. Strong workers.
Yeah.
Had principles.
Yeah.
Could do anything.
Yeah.
Loved people. And I drove from North Carolina to see Dennis's dad about a couple of weeks before he passed. And I sat there in the living room and I just wept. Loved Brother Guy.
Yeah.
I sat there in the living room just wept. And he looked at me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I don't want you weeping for me." He said, "God's marched people through my living room here." He said, "I've got the opportunity to tell them about Jesus." And he said, "I'm just a praising God. I'm having the time of my life. I'm getting ready to go home."
Yeah.
And he said, "Things are going to be healed." Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
God can.
Yes, he can.
God can. But it's good for me to draw nigh to God. He said, "I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works." Have we told somebody about Jesus today? You say, "Well, they don't want to hear." I tell them anyway.
Right. Amen. Amen.
I get kind of tricky sometimes. One guy told me, he said, "Well," I said, I don't feel like talking this evening, preacher." I said, "Well, you got any prayer requests anybody can pray for?" I knew his mama had been sick because I knew her. And he said, "Yeah, I'd like you to pray for my mama." So I just prayed for his mama. Well, I prayed for him. I prayed the plan of salvation to him.
Sure. Yeah, it'll work. It'll work.
And he listened.
Good.
About a month later, guess what? Old boy got saved.
Yeah.
He's going home to be with mama now.
Yeah,
he's good. He's good. He may be unknown, but he's not unseen. He may be unknown, but he's not unfaithful. He may be unknown, but he's not unfair.
Yeah, that's
right. Genesis 18:25b says this, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?"
Yeah. Yeah.
He does. 2 years ago, there was a young man. I substituted for him in school. He was a Christian school teacher. He taught Bible college and or Bible class and music in the Christian school there, Miller's Creek. Name's Ryan Marlowe. Some of you may have known his story. But Ryan went on an anniversary trip with his wife over to Pigeon Forge. He sat down, ate a meal just like you and I would. Seafood meal. There was a bacteria in that seafood that went to his brainstem. Attacked his brainstem. He's now in a wheelchair. He's been on a respirator for almost 2 years now. They declared him legally dead in a hospital there in North Carolina. And as they were doing the Hall of Honor walk, they began to roll him down the aisle there between those doctors. And his wife saw his hand move. And she stopped him. And she said, "Ryan's still in there. Let's stop. Let's do a brainwave test." They done a brainwave test. Ryan's still in there. He's now able to sign. He's now able to stand. And he's getting the gospel out through their labor and work together, her taking care of him. And I want to tell you, I doubted God for a long time. And the last video I saw of Ryan when he was able to speak and doing right, he said, "Whatever happens in my life, whatever happens in my life, I want God to get all the glory."
Yeah, amen.
And boy, he has through this.
Yeah, amen.
And I know Brother Mark and Miss Cheryl's had some suffering too. And but you know what? God's been faithful to them.
Yeah.
God's took care of them. And he's not unfair.
No,
he's not. He's not. He's not. And he never will be.
Yeah. Yeah,
and again, I've seen folks serving the Lord, walking for him, living for him, singing for him, preaching for him. I've seen some things happen to them that I don't understand. But you know what? He's not being unfair when we go through suffering.
No, he's not.
Turn to 1 Peter, chapter number 4. 1 Peter, chapter number 4. He's not unfair when we go through suffering. We'd like to think he is. Anybody ever get that why me complex?
Yeah, yeah.
We never should. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice." If you want the Lord to show up in your time of trial and affliction, just begin to praise Him a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to begin to lift Him up and tell Him how good He is and how much you love Him. And I guarantee you, He's going to show up. He said, "But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy."
Yeah.
You know, a year ago, I shared with Mark, I still work. 75 years old, God's given me the health and strength to do that. I still run a crew. And I was on a job up in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And I come in contact with some contaminated blood. I don't know whether I rub my face or my eyes or what, but I got it in my blood system. I got hepatitis B. It attacked my liver. I was probably as orange as that man's shirt sitting back there. And old hard head wasn't going to the doctor. My son-in-law, who's a paramedic, I videoed him and I said, he said, "What's going on?" And I said, "Well, not feeling well." Now, I taught a Sunday school lesson that morning at church. 4:30 that afternoon, I was in the ICU in a hospital in Elkin. They started running all kinds of tests. That was on Sunday and Thursday morning. They come in and said, "Mr. Malay," and I said, "That's my daddy." I said, "What's going on?" She said, "I got some bad news. Your liver's in complete failure. Your enzymes are only 58, and they're supposed to be 5,000. And she said, "We're sending you to Charlotte, North Carolina, to a specialist down there. They're going to put you on the liver transplant list." I stayed on the liver transplant list for 6 months. Had a little old country bumpkin up in the woods, back up in the hills of North Carolina, that had had a liver transplant and knew what I was going through. He called me while I was in the hospital. He said, "Preacher, I'm a-praying for you. God's going to deliver you out of this." December of last year, I went back to that doctor. He looked at me and he said, "Mr. Millay," and I said, "That's my daddy." He said, "I don't understand all that's going on." He said, "But your liver's functioning at 100%. I said, "Imagine that." I said, "Doc," I said, "you got some good medication. I said, you got a good team. God's given you a lot of talent. Can I tell you what I'm going to do? I'm going to lift my hand and praise the Lord."
Yes,
for answered prayer.
Yes.
He didn't know what to say. So that's how good God is. That's how faithful He is. And I've thought in my life sometimes He's been faithful, but He hasn't. Sometimes He allows us to go through trials and go through troubles to draw us closer, to give us a better walk with Him. We're being conformed, by the way, to the image of Christ.
Yes, amen.
Hey, don't drive your tent pegs too deep. We're not going to live in this old body very long. We're going to get out of here.
Yes, amen.
Let me say this while I got you here. Have you ever thought about your affliction as a gift? You ever thought about that? Your sickness? Your time of trial? Mark, I probably witnessed to over 500 people in that hospital there in Charlotte.
Sure. Sure.
Had a nurse got saved running down the hall shouting the glory. That's what God can do.
Yes, amen.
Think about the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 12:7, he said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh." The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure.
That's good.
Maybe the trial you're going through right now is a gift. Maybe there's somebody in your family you've been praying for you want to reach, and that's the only way that God's going to show them.
Yes, amen.
That they'll see the love of Jesus in
yes,
you.
Amen.
He's always there.
Always.
Always there. Let me say lastly, He's not unfair when we face sickness or maybe even death. I love what He told Martha and Mary. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Yes,
believest thou this?
Yes. Yes, I believe.
I heard a statement that Billy Graham made. He said, one day you're going to hear that Billy Graham has died. He said, don't you believe it. He said, I'm going to be more alive than I've ever been in my life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, amen.
I've just begun to live. I've just begun to live. When God's amazing grace came in, I've just begun to live.
Amen.
He may be unknown, but He's not unseen. He may be unknown, but He's not unfaithful. He may be unknown, but He's not unfair.
Yes, amen.
You can't track Him, you can trust Him.
Yes.
He's going to be faithful. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Pastor, if you'll come, get a song of invitation. Bring that need to Jesus tonight, whatever it is. Bring that trial to Jesus tonight. Bring that lost loved one to Jesus tonight. Let them know just how much you care, what God can do for them.
Yes, amen. Amen. Good preaching tonight. It helps us to listen. If nothing else, what you're going through is a gift. I've read that 1,000 times. And it was given, Paul. I never thought of it as the gift. So what we're going through, God's going to use it, but not as a gift. God spoke to you, He said, won't you come? Find your place down this altar. Let's sing right now, Teddy. Let's sing. You come tonight. If you need the Lord, you come. If you carry the load, you come. If you can't find Him, I like what He said. If you can't
find Him, yeah.
Page 310.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus.